We are going to visit with Maria Ross now, and it's my pleasure to introduce Maria. Not only is she, and I'm not even going to read her bio. So there, not only is she a wonderful marketing, maven is what I would say. She specializes in branding, which is why her website is so cute. When you go to red-slice.com, it's this cute little apple and all these fruits, and you got to go there and check it out. So she helps people like us and beyond us, brand their business. In a very delightful way, a very user-friendly way,
I would say.
But we're not here to talk about business, so stay tuned.
But never mind all that.
We're on vacation.
Yeah, that's right. And so we were talking about the other part of Maria's life, which is more about something that happened a year ago, and that was a brain aneurysm. And that is a little surprising at 35
at the time.
Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to bring Maria on here because she obviously has had the challenges of going through basically kind of rebooting is what I would call it. When you have a brain aneurysm, you're kind of rebooting. And yet she has this amazing, remarkable story. And also, it's even different than attitude, but outlook on
Definitely.
Something that was so dramatic. So welcome. And thank you
for having me.
Thank you for sharing. And I'm sorry I got to turn like this. It's so funny because our microphones, I'm like, if I talk over here, you'll get it. But I can look at you this way. But no, welcome to the Sisters of Sizzle. And I just have to ask, tell us what it's like to have to reboot.
So it's interesting because this happened last August 2008, and I, prior to that, had just launched my own business, not even 6 or 7 months beforehand. We had just moved to Seattle from San Francisco, just bought our first house, just got a dog. And so all this stuff was going on in our lives at the time that this happened. And I had suffered a very bad sudden headache and had gone to the doctor, and we just thought it was stress-related. My blood pressure was really high. So we were just monitoring it for a while. And then now, hindsight, we know that that was sort of when the aneurysm was getting bigger and bigger. And then on August 4th of 2008, it burst and hemorrhaged and I collapsed in my house. And thankfully, talking about gratitude, my husband had decided to come home and work for the rest of the day because I wasn't feeling well. I was getting sick and had a really bad headache, and he never does that. He decided to just come home. And had he not been there, I may not be here today. So, but yeah, I mean, it was many months of, I was in the hospital for 6 weeks. I had vision issues because in addition to the brain hemorrhage, I had had a hemorrhage in my eyes. Uh-huh. And so I couldn't see the entire time I was in the hospital.
Wow.
Lots of short-term memory
couldn't
issues.
Couldn't see at all.
Couldn't see. I saw shapes. Very faint, but I couldn't really see. And then with the short-term memory issues I was having, it was actually quite funny. There was a lot of crazy things I was saying and doing and getting my dreams mixed up with my, you know, memories with conversations that happened around me. And, but yeah, I mean, it was 6 weeks in the hospital, and then it was a long recovery of both physical, getting my strength and stamina back, a couple of eye surgeries to deal with the eye issues, and, having to deal with sort of what I have told my friends was sort of this new me. Because the frontal lobe injury that I had really affected my executive skills. So things like planning and initiation and organization. And I was just a, you know.
I was gonna say, because I took a workshop from you and you were very organized.
Right. And that was actually the first thing back at work that I had done. So that was a huge workshop for me to be able to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was after.
So, but, you know, it just, I had to get used to not being able to multitask as well as I did before, having to write things down more than I did before, and just being able to focus on one thing at a time, which I was always like straight A, honor student, 5 million things going on. And that was really hard to adjust to. But,
oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
So what are a few of the main things that really helped you get back?
So it was a combination of things. I mean,
to
I had a lot.
Self.
Yeah, my new self. Yeah. So really three main things helped me get through everything. Patience, acceptance, and humor. The patience part was just really dealing with the fact that I had to recover and my body had to recover, and I had to be patient with that recovery process of getting my strength back and getting back into the world and getting my social mojo back, as I like to say. And then acceptance of the fact that maybe I was not going to be able to define myself in the same way that I did before. And I had to be okay with that. I had to accept the new me and let go of the old me. So maybe the old me was able to do 10 million things at one time and multitask like nobody's business. But I had to accept the fact that in gratitude, I was still here.
Loving what is.
Loving what is, exactly. And just, you know, maybe I have to only focus on one or two things at a time now. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And that's kind of one of those things I kept with me after, was sort of being in the moment and appreciating what you have. And then finally, humor. Just humor is very important to my family and friends, and being able to laugh at things even while, you know, I was in the hospital in ICU and they didn't know what was going to happen to me. They didn't know if I was going to be mentally damaged. They didn't know if my motor skills were going to be impacted, anything like that. So those three things really helped. And also my having my dog and being able to have a goal of walking my dog every day. That really, really helps.
So, but that is important. Something totally therapeutic. Something that you have to take care of.
Absolutely. And I couldn't walk him by myself when I first got home from the hospital. I was very weak. I usually take him on a half hour walk every morning. I had the eye problems. So I had to have a caregiver or therapist with me every time we did go for a little walk. And the first time I was able to take him for his walk was really empowering. Just to kind of, you know that I had that goal to shoot for.
So, Maria, for people out there who have gone through an experience like this, who are facing it right now, besides, you know, your wonderful story of getting through it and coming out the other side, was there something that came out of that that even made your life better? That you can almost be grateful for?
Yeah, I definitely am grateful for it. I mean, in a way, this is going to sound weird, but it's sort of like attending your own funeral. I mean, you start to really realize what you mean to people and what you mean to your family. And even though I don't remember the entire month of August, I have these flashes. All of my friends from all over the country flew out to be with me. My family flew out to be with me. My husband's been wonderful. I mean, a test in our marriage that we didn't know we were going to have to deal with.
Right.
And so I think we take for granted, we don't think we're as important to people in the day to day as we are, and the impact that you have and the influence that you have on people. And so from that perspective, I just having all that love and support around me and realizing what I meant to people and what my experience meant to other people. So what I went through actually inspired other people to realize life is short and go after their dreams. And friends of ours that have wanted to travel around the world are now actually going to be doing it in part because of the experience that I went through. So that I'm grateful for, and that I think was a good thing. And then, like I said, coming out of it of, you know, maybe I don't have to be Superwoman, and maybe I don't have to do 9 million things at one time and achieve all my dreams in 1 month. And
puts things in perspective.
It
doesn't
does. It does. Yeah.
Now, you brought a book and it opened. So I want to make sure we get to it, because it's will you share what it is?
Absolutely. So it's a goofy little orange journal that a bunch of my friends kept for me while I was in ICU that August.
That's sweet.
And they knew I wasn't going to remember most of that experience. So they actually wrote down while they were at my bedside different things that were happening. And
I'm getting teary.
I know I am too. But I mean, this is what I mean about the humor, being able, you know, there was a lot of gallows humor going on while I had a tube in my head and you know,
it's healing.
It's healing. It's totally healing. Yeah. So, and she's a brilliant writer, so I have to share this, but this is one of her entries. Your herd of doctors was just in. You've got more staff than the freaking Hilton. Talked loudly, woke you up, asked the usual wiggle your toes, wave your arms stuff, then left. You woke up long enough to say, what the hell was that? Sheesh, and went back to sleep. Oh, that reminds me, yesterday we had to keep telling you what happened and why you were here. One time you said, oh, wow, bummer. Something of an understatement. So just really cute things like that. That, I mean, I can't read this without bawling.
Do you post any of that, or is it private?
I haven't yet. I actually would love to share it, just because I think it can help other people with, you know, it's okay to laugh in the face of not knowing what's going
to
happen.
And to still be connected.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't mean you care about things any less. It's just a coping strategy.
Right. Now, if we have listeners out there who perhaps are going through or experiencing something like this, or or have and are in the middle of it, would you be willing, do you have an email account that they could, someone could contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can write to me at Maria, M-A-R-I-A, at red-slice.com. And I'd be more than happy to share my resources. There were a lot of Seattle resources that really helped in my recovery.
Oh, wonderful. So, that would be great.
And
oh,
the UW doctors were wonderful.
Oh, a little shout out to those.
Little shout out
to the staff at the UW.
My husband calls them brain ninjas.
Ooh.
So the surgeons.
Are they cute?
Well, Maria, thank you so much for coming in and staying on and sharing your story.
Thank you.
You know, I think it is so important for everyone to always remember that in every obstacle there are opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And you're living proof of that.
Absolutely.
And we really appreciate you sharing that.